Welcome to the American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is the top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs. Make sure you check them out for all your new NFL gear. There's Black Friday offers, so if you are looking to get any nice merch or whatever, they've got everything on there, so do just go and have a look at them. So week 10 is over. There has been a couple of surprise results. Obviously, Craig and Joe will get to yours in just a moment, but how did everyone enjoy this week of football? I know I hate it.
It's rough as a Ravens fan, but there was some quality finishes the games.
Oh yeah, god damn, Jesus.
Yeah, the season's hotting up now. It's just, one thing I've worked out as well, usually when you get to this point of the season, you know who the good teams are and you know who the bad teams are. So when you make your predictions, it seems quite straightforward. But with this year, it's just like those teams are just getting closer and closer together. And it's really hard to call them.
That usually, Cardinals game was one of the best games I've watched in recent history.
Usually this time of the season, I start looking at draft picks and working out what draft pick we're going to have because we're out of the playoffs. So this year, apparently, there's a thing called a playoffs. At the end of the season, if you've got a good record, you keep playing. I didn't even realise you did that.
No, so. Apparently, if you have a bad record, just keep playing if you're in the NFC East.
Well, they keep up on how many playoff spots it is. So apparently, all you need to do is just show up on one game on a Sunday, and you're going to qualify for the playoffs now.
I'm literally in that point where I'm like, I don't want to make the playoffs.
You know what's going to happen? It's written in the stars, right? The NFC East winner is going to have 5 wins. They're going to have the 4th seed, and they will win that first round playoff game. You can guarantee that's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll be knocking out the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bears aren't going to make it.
I don't know. They do like to get knocked out in the wild card.
But that was more Andy Dalton's forte.
Let's move on to some news then. Go over some of the injuries first. There were a couple of big name ones. First one we'll go over came from your game, Craig and Joe. Don't Google this one because we've all just done that and then cringe. Nick Boyle hyperextended his leg and it was quite the gruesome injury.
Yeah, the weather in this game was atrocious. Like, it was like torrential rain. It was really windy. Like, the weather in Foxborough was really, really bad. So was the game, to be honest, from the Ravens anyway. But yeah, like he tackles come in, it's hit him in the knee when he's been running with the ball. And before he even hit the ground, all of the Patriots players that were around him, the defense that had made the tackle, were calling over their own sideline medics and all kinds, where even they knew from the get-go that it was a pretty pretty gruesome hit. And yeah, it looks like he's out for the season.
Bad news all the time. You mentioned the weather there. I've actually started looking ahead to Sundays for my predictions. Like, I was looking at, like, for example, a Packers-Colts game, and I was like, do they play indoors? Because really the Packers games I've seen have been getting pretty extreme weather. And I watched it, I'm like, oh no, the Jags could have won that because it was really wet.
Cleveland's the other one. Cleveland, the last two home games, they've had like crazy win there. And it's really affected the gameplay there. But I guess with now they've got Chubb back, they've got that full backfield now in full strength. I guess if the wind does start to play a factor, it'll go in their favour.
Some NFC South quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater could be out for this week, which is going to be a very close game. So that is definitely something to keep up to date with. More drastically, is Drew Brees is out for a couple of weeks. I think it was 4 to 6 weeks last time I checked. With some fractured ribs. So that really does cast a bit of uncertainty on the top of the NFC South, because Alvin Kamara is just looking amazing. The Saints are looking decent, but losing Breeze and having to turn to either Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. Who do you go to, Tim?
I think it's got to be Jameis Winston, because he is a starting quarterback, whereas Hill, they can still use Hill as they have been. I don't know if Hill's good enough quarterback to actually start as a quarterback. I think definitely they should start Winston.
Okay. Is it true he also punctured his lung as well?
He did, yes. One of his ribs punctured his lung.
Was it? I was listening to a podcast about this today. It was a collapsed lung, not a punctured lung. Apparently there's a difference. I don't know how you collapse your lung without puncturing it, but there you go.
What's worse?
Either way, it's pretty grim.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really want either of my lungs hurting. Also from the NFC West, Andrew Whitworth, who I think he's like 37 now. He's one of the long-time great left tackles in the modern era. He has torn his MCL. So whilst that's not season-ending, because the Rams are looking like they are going to be making a playoff run, it's not good news for them, especially because that line, which was terrible last year, really stood up this year.
He's been one of the highest graded tackles this season, and it's a big loss for them. He's 38, but he looks like he's 58 there, but he's still one of the best tackles in the game.
Yeah. You can tell he's a great leader because I think his message to the fans was like, I'm not going to be able to contribute on the field, but now I get to really put my mind to contributing off the field, which he's really looking forward to. And that's the stuff you love to see your players coming out with.
Rams have been a really surprising team this year, I think. Like, I don't think anyone's seen them coming out as they have done, and now they're really, like, sort of in the mix in that division. Like, it's so close. It's like a three-way tie, I think, at the minute. Like, they're really making the case and making a run of it.
They're well-drilled, aren't they? I think that's what it is. Just good coaching and well-drilled, and their defense is really good. They've got a few superstars on that team. So that's what it's about, as long as they can keep the offense ticking over. And that's what is going to be such a big loss, losing Whitfield, because Goff relies on him so much just not to be hit. And I think if he loses that, I think it might affect Goff maybe mentally. So it's going to be interesting to see what this does to the Rams season. It could be a massive, massive hit for them.
So moving from injuries to more COVID news, which we always love to hear. Tim, your entire team is dying, apparently.
It's not as bad as it first looked. So Cleveland Farrell, who's actually been having a really good season, he had a positive COVID test, so he's out. And then yesterday, Twitter came from Ian Rappaport, I think it was, who said there was a load of defensive starters not playing. It's actually only six of the defensive starters, which isn't great, but they're only on the list because they've had close contact with Farrell. So it's Jonathan Abram, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Isaiah Johnson, Arden Key, and Kendall Vickers. So we've still got, it's not exactly the star players, but they still could all play on Sunday. So it's not ideal, but it's not as disastrous as I thought it was last night. So we'll see.
You don't seem too keen on Jonathan Abrams.
Jonathan Abrams is a really good player, but he's a walking 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. He cost us a touchdown last week. Didn't matter because we were only playing the Broncos anyway. But he's just the sort of player that looks for the highlight hit rather than wrapping up, tackling and playing for his team. He's just looking for that highlight at the moment. He's only young, so hopefully he'll develop, but he's annoying me at the minute.
Yeah, he's a bit eager, isn't he?
Yeah.
I liked him in Hard Knocks. So New York Giants have also fired their offensive line coach, Mark Colombo. I got here that he allegedly got into a fight with Joe Judge, just to kind of throw in what I researched and about that. Basically, the Giants O-line had been doing crap for the opening kind of gambit of the season. And Joe Judge was like, I wonder why it's doing crap. So he went over to give some extra attention to them. And they realized the minute he started paying attention to the line, they actually got a lot better. So they kind of said to him, Mark Colombo, they went like, we're going to maybe get a second guy in to help you out with the line. And apparently reacted quite badly to that. So they just canned him and got the new guy in.
Yeah, I think the evidence was there because their overall first round pick, Andrew Thomas, wasn't playing very well. Yeah. And then as soon as, like you said, Judge went over, he's had the best 3 weeks he's had so far. So they're like, let's think about this. What's the ingredient that's keeping him back? So, you know.
Not too happy that Joe Judge is looking to be a good, nice guy.
I know.
I didn't want that.
He's doing something down in New York. You know, they're looking probably the best NFC's team. Sorry, Adam.
No, mate, it's fine because it means they're going to keep David Gettleman.
They do look like they're getting better each week, to be fair to Giants. Like the Giants fans, I know they struggled early on, but as the season's creeping on, it looks like they're slowly just improving that little bit each week.
With no Barkley.
It's that offensive line, honestly. Now that Danny Jones isn't getting pummeled every single snap, he's got a chance to throw the ball and he's looking like he's in a good form when he's throwing.
And he's such a good runner as well. I know that everybody's falling over, but he can run.
He's quick. Yeah,
he looked like Vic. We were saying that the other day on Sunday. He looked like Mike Vic being a QB when he's running.
I think I saw a stat that the top franchise rushing quarterback is Daniel Jones from 2019 for the Giants, and he's already beating himself. he's. I think that's been a shock to all of us how good Daniel Jones has been running.
Yeah, he hit like 22 mile an hour, I think it was.
In the game. I think his one where he did his 80 yarder, he hit 23, and it was one of the fastest that a quarterback's been since like 2016.
It's nuts.
On to another quarterback, Joe Herbert has decided to, Justin Herbert's decided to take an interesting look. He's taken a page out of your book a little bit, Craig. He's got like a Northwest hairstyle going on.
Yeah, he's had his ears lower, Danny, and he looks about, it looks like he's about six now. Yeah, looks like he's literally fresh out of high school. It's really, really knocked the years off him.
And do you know where he got the haircut? It was the strength and conditioning coach that cut his hair for him.
He's just doing his gains. He's like, whilst you're at it.
Yeah.
It's all about edges, innit? If he shaves his hair off, it might just make him that little tiny bit, fraction of a second quicker.
It was a look, though. He, you know, that was the Justin Herbert look, that sort of like medium long hair. He's got rid of it. But I love it, like quarantine style proper, isn't it?
Also, a shout out to UK NFL player F.A. Obada. He hit his 1,000th snap this week and he also sacked Tom Brady. So I think that's definitely the first UK player that sacked Tom Brady.
Have you seen the slow-mo of the sack? Yeah, Brady's face on the slow-mo was quite funny. I appreciated that. Like, he looks like he just looks horrified throughout the whole thing as he's getting hit. Looked pretty uncomfortable. It was fun to see.
To be honest, if there's a quarterback who we know hates sacks more than anyone else, it's probably Brady.
Yeah. Didn't look comfortable. It was a funny slow-mo. One they seemed to show quite a lot on Red Zone, like, at the time.
Joe, you've been doing very well this week in predictions.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm just taking like a punt. I want to point out, I have predicted the Giants to win three times, and they have won every time that I've predicted them. So I've got a feeling that I am the reason the Giants are winning these games. So Joe Judge should go half and half with me on his wages. That'd be quite nice. But no, it's just coming out of the blue. I said it's one of these where I think I've looked at it, and when it's been close games, I've just gone almost the other way of what you guys have gone for, and it seems to have paid off in the last couple of weeks. So I'll take it on the chin.
So Tim, do you want to go over how we all did last week?
Yeah, Joe had a brilliant week last week. He got 16 points altogether. He only actually got two wrong. So you've got two spot on. You got the, let me have a look at which ones you got spot on. The Vikings and the Lions, you got spot on. It was only the Seahawks and the Ravens that you got wrong, which is absolutely brilliant. Adam, you had a good week too, 12 points. Craig got 10 and I got 9. So it's been a huge lead now developing at the top. Joe's got 126. Both me and Craig got 118. And Adam's only just behind with 112.
I feel like we should get a separate point for calling the game correctly against all of you calling the Seahawks. No, yeah. That, I'm happy that I'm starting to get in the mix again, but Joe's starting to bloody pull away now.
Yeah. I can't remember when the last time anyone got a bold prediction right, though.
Oh, I think you got about a week two or something. Our bold predictions are even getting easier to get, and they just never come through. Let's go straight into next week's then. So, first game, Thursday night football, NFC West matchup. This is going to be absolutely fantastic. Craig, you've got the Cardinals going to Seattle.
Yeah, so the NFC West is arguably the best decision in the NFL at the minute. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks and the Kyler Murray-led Cardinals and the Sean McVay coach Rams, they're all currently in a three-way battle in the East, and it's definitely looking like, you know, arguably the strongest division in football. Seahawks and the Cardinals, they go head-to-head for the second time this season, later on tonight. Pete Carroll's boys will still be feeling their 37-34 overtime loss against the Cardinals a couple of weeks ago. Carroll and the Seahawks, they were having a superb 2020 year. Up until recently, they've just seemed to have had a streak of bad results, and things don't seem to be going their way. They had narrow losses to the Bills and to the Rams, and you've seen them slide to third now in that division. QB Russell Wilson, he's also fallen behind in that NFL MVP race that he looked like he was leading the way for to begin with. Back-to-back weeks of struggling, he's just not looked himself. Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, he'll be crucial for this home team this week, as he's shown the last few weeks. However, Tyler Lockett was listed as questionable in the latest injuries report, so with any luck, they could also have him back and have a bit more firepower on that offense. There is some concerns for him. Running back Chris Carson could also miss out. So that's something that it has been hitting them at the minute. They've not really had much of a run game to speak of. And the defense has been hit with quite a few injuries as well, with Quinton Dunbar, Shaquille Griffin, and Nico Thorpe all having injury problems at the moment. So, on the other side of the ball, what a season it's turning out to be for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. The Hail Murray, as they're calling it all after last weekend. A 43-yard last-second bomb from Kyler Murray to the triple covered DeAndre Hopkins in the end zone. If you haven't seen that yet, where have you been hiding? Because that's all I've seen for the past week all over my social medias. Won them the game, and it's given them now first place in the NFC West. Money's thrown for 2,300 plus yards and rushed for another 500 plus more, and he's had more than 20 touchdowns already from the last nine games. So it's pretty impressive stats for Money. He's clearly carrying that team at the moment. I think he'll be the difference maker for the Cardinals on Thursday. He's got an experienced cast around him in Hopkins and Fitzgerald, who had a pretty unfortunate pick on the weekend for more people. I think it looks like he's finally if all the people you wouldn't expect it from him, but it looks like he's finally broke that streak that he had going of consecutive catches, which makes me a little bit sad, to be honest. But the major task at hand at the moment will be for the Cardinals' defense. They'll need to be at their absolute best if they're going to try and stop this powerhouse in Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf and his Seahawks offense. The Cardinals' defense, they suffered quite a few blows on Sunday. They lost their nose tackle, Corey Peters. He's got a season-ending knee injury, as well as inside linebacker Devontae Campbell, who went down with a calf issue, and it looks like he's going to be out for this week. Defensive tackle Jordan Phillips didn't play because he's got a hamstring issue at the moment, and he's out again. So the Cardinals have only three active defensive linemen at the moment, and one of them's from the practice. They've got one from the practice squad, so it's a bit rough for them on the defensive line front. If Campbell's unable to go, then the coaching staff have shown a bit of confidence in Isaiah Simmons, ready to fill in for him in that linebacker spot. So that'll be interesting to watch. I know he's had a lot of good stuff said about him, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do on the field from that kind of position. Based on their last meeting, it's safe to say that this game will be a little bit too close to call. The difference maker, just like it was last time these two squared off, is going to be turnovers. The Cardinals turned the ball over twice, while forcing three in the last time that they matched up a couple of weeks ago. Wilson's interception by Isaiah Simmons in overtime set up that game-winning field goal kick for the Cardinals, which was the difference maker in the end. Wilson has got seven interceptions in his last four games, so it's one of the reasons why the Seahawks have been really struggling. I think it's sputtering out a little bit over the past few weeks. But another is the defense. The Seahawks are allowing the most yards through the air in the league by quite a wide margin. But back from injury is the All-Pro safety Jamal Adams, who was a real difference maker for that defense in the beginning of the season. He also missed out that game the first time round, so that could be a factor to keep an eye out for, and to could be a difference maker in that game. Offensively, the Seahawks are the top scoring team in the league, but last week the Rams seemed to snap that three-game streak of scoring at least 34 points. Clearly the woes on offense are getting a little bit worse week on week. Hopefully they can turn stuff around this week. If the Cardinals can continue to just bait Wilson to throw interceptions as he has been and hold Seattle like the Rams did last week, they'll have a good chance to pull away against this struggling defense of the Seahawks, especially that secondary. But all that said and done, I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one. After two disappointing losses on the bounce, I feel like Russell Wilson and the rest of the Hawks are going to be out there with a point to prove. It's likely going to be another shootout that you don't want to miss, but I've got Hawks taking this by four.
Man, like, watching Kyler Murray is now watching what Lamar Jackson was last year, but with unbelievable receivers. It's just like that the Hail Murray, good Lord. That was just, I literally watched it, I was like, surely he can't catch that. And he just, obviously it's DeAndre Hopkins, but God, that was just an exciting game. Isaiah Simmons coming in, I think he's going to... He's not been great this season, but hopefully he has a bit of a, as Tim says, a coming out party this year week. So, looking forward to that. But I think the Cardinals are just... They got the momentum. they're developing into the better team. The Seahawks obviously hit lightning very quickly, but maybe this slide isn't going to stop. I've got the Cardinals by four.
Yeah, for me, if you come off a win like that, you just got to back out with another win. And I just think that it's going to be, everyone's going to be feeling so high in that Cardinals camp. I've got the Cardinals to win by five.
For me, this one was a toss-up, went back and forth, but I think the Seahawks need the win more than the Cardinals need the win at the moment. So I've got the Seahawks scraping it by three.
Ooh, 50-50. We're all keeping it pretty close. Okay, Joe, your first game, you've got your Pats going to Texas.
Yes, so Patriots at the Texans. So the Pats are coming off a really impressive win against the Ravens, in which they managed to shut the Ravens down in their extremely good running game, which is very surprising as we went into that game as the 31st ranked defense in the league. Damian Harris, who we drafted in the 2019, he's been a revelation since he's come into the team. He's added so much to the offense. He's run over 70 yards in each of his last three games, and he's ran over 102 of those. The double threat of now him and Cam Newton just has defenses sort of second guessing of what we're going to do. Another player on the offense that's really stepped up is Jacoby Myers. He's becoming one of my favorite Patriots players just very quickly. He's an undrafted wide receiver, and he's stepped up in recent weeks and he's become Cam Newton's favourite and sort of most trusted pair of hands. He was originally a quarterback back in college, and it showed with his 24-yard throw to Rex Burkhead, which, you know, everyone loves a trick play, but that one was just different gravy. Big throw for a wide receiver, and he made it pretty well. The Pats, we're now 4-5, and with a bit of good fortune, the playoffs, they're a long shot, but they're slightly within sight now, if we have a bit of good luck. The Texans, they come off a pretty poor loss to Cleveland, where they struggled to get anything going. I mean, granted, the weather in Ohio was pretty awful, but for me, it just sort of epitomised the Texans' season, just being bland. You feel bad for Deshaun Watson, because he's a cracking quarterback, top five quarterback, in my opinion, and he's just not being allowed to really do anything. He's a bit of a dead organization. I just think you've got to free him really before it gets a bit too late. Their defense struggled against the Browns running game. They allowed 231 yards, and it's been the biggest issue for Houston this year, is teams have just been running all over them, and week after week after week, it just must get a bit knackering for them. I see the Pats taking full advantage of this. Therefore, I think we're just going to hit the ground hard and hit them. And I think we're going to win this one. I think we're going to win it by six.
So, I don't know. I think Patriots coming off that win last week against the Ravens, they're going to be pretty pumped. I can see the Patriots taking this one by four.
I've got the Pats taking it by five.
I think the Texans can take this one. I've been pondering it whilst Joe was speaking. I'm mainly taking it because I need the points, so I need to take risks. So I will take the Texans, but I think this is a game they can win. Bill plays really good at home. He beat the Ravens at home, and that's a pretty big feat that he's beaten the Ravens. And he's known at out coaching some great teams. The Texans, yeah, they've been doing terrible, but I think Will Fuller's been playing really well, and so has Brandon Cooks. I think they eke one out in the nice Texas sun. Texans by three. Sorry, Joe. I need the points. My next game, I got Titans at Ravens. A lovely little playoffs 2019 matchup. I think, unfortunately, there's less hype going into this game. The Ravens obviously come off this pretty disheartening loss, 23-17. Like I said, really wet day. Just couldn't get it going on the ground. Ultimately fell to Cam Newton and Bill. Obviously, like I said, Bill is one of these really great defensive coaches, and the Ravens just couldn't do it enough to get past them. Ravens lost two out of their three last games, which they're in. They're trying to beat the Steelers here, who are currently undefeated. So if they want a chance to win the AFC North, they're going to need to stop this slide now. Titans come off a bit of a thumping by the Colts. Derrick Henry did run over for 100 yards, so he's still got that going, but under 200 yards passing, it's not really what you want to see your team going for. Colts defense is obviously very stingy, though. They couldn't really stop Phil Rivers, who threw for just under 300 yards. And obviously, it's pretty easy to make Phil play poorly, as Tim knows. The playoff matchup looks different to last year. Both teams are really hot in the playoffs. Titans are obviously streaking at the end. And the Ravens have been hot all of last year. There's a lot of trash talk flying around, especially between Earl Thomas and the Titans, obviously. But both teams do come into this game under quite a bit of scrutiny. I know Craig's probably been seeing a lot of the Lamar Jackson scrutiny I've seen dotted about. And Tannehill's not really playing up to franchise quarterback levels like his contract implies. The two biggest questions are, is Lamar going to return to form? Obviously, we hope to see that after a bit of a shitty weather day. Hopefully, in the nice hot sun in Texas will allow him to chuck the ball a bit. And yeah, is Tannehill going to return to his very efficient form? And really, what defense can shut down the other quarterback faster? Ultimately, I think the Ravens do have the better defense. From the games that I have been watching, you guys force fumbles all the time, which is pretty crazy. And Derrick Henry's still going to get his yards, I think. But I just don't think the Titans' defense can take on Lamar, who's trying to prove something this week. So I've got the Ravens taking this game by 6.
I've got Ravens taking this one by 3, but in all honesty, I don't see us winning this game. I just couldn't bring it in myself to pick against the Ravens, to be honest. But I think, from what I've seen in that game against the Patriots, we completely lost the line battle. Like, our defensive line just got completely manhandled. And Gokwe's not really shown up since he's arrived at the Ravens. We're still waiting to see something from him. Earl Campbell is obviously now having some injury issues that the line's a little bit on the banged up side. But, I mean, going up against this Titans run game compared to the Patriots run game, which is, you know, not something that they've been leaning on, but I guess when you think of strong run games, you would think of the Titans before you think of the Patriots. I think we're going to have trouble stopping Derrick Henry, to be honest. I can't see us winning this game, but I'm not going to bet against my own team, so I'm going Ravens by 3.
Yeah, I've got similar thoughts to you, Craig. You know, if the Patriots ran over your defense, it's terrifying what the Titans can do. And in a simple way as well, I look at it and I think back to the playoff game last year. I think you guys have regressed. Obviously, you've got the injuries, which is obviously a hard hitting, but you guys have regressed to what you were last year. The Titans have also regressed, but only slightly. And I just see the Titans just running over you. So I've got the Titans to win just though. I've gotten to win by 3.
I think that Titans defense is pretty terrible. And the Ravens, this is all about pride now. I think they've got to win this game. So I've got Ravens by 7.
Honestly, I listened to Craig and I was like, nah, I'm going to change the Titans. And Tim just went, Titans defense is shit. And I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to stick with the Ravens.
Yeah, their defense isn't great. Like, but I think with the Ravens, the play calling's just too predictable now. Like, every game that's coming in, you know, we're going to run the same 3-4 plays. We're a little bit banged up on injuries. Like, unless they're going to start getting creative with the play calling, we're just going to keep going as we're going.
It's such a hard choice. I can't let Joe get ahead. No, we'll go on to your next game. Tim, you got the Cowboys.
Yes, so Cowboys at the Vikings. So the Vikings coming off a win last week, 19-13 against the Bears. Cousins threw for 292 yards, 2 touchdowns, and the Vikings overcame a spectacular 104-yard kickoff return by Cordarrelle Patterson. It's the first Monday Night Football win in 10 tries for Kirk Cousins. Dalvin Cook did what he's been doing all season. He leads the league in rushing, 954 yards. He ran for 96 yards. That's the third game in the row that the Vikings have won. The Cowboys were on a bye last week, but they had some good news. Looks like they're going to get the Ginger Rifle back. Andy Dalton's coming back. They've also got Tyron Crawford coming back for the game as well. Dalvin Cook, he'll look to feast on the bare bones of the Cowboys. They expected 100-yard games from him. Last season, he got 183 scrimmage yards against the Cowboys. Kirk Cousins improved exponentially since the start of the season. So he's looking good for this one as well. The game will feature two of the top rookie wide receiver class. Justin Jefferson leads all rookies with 762 yards, and you've got C.D. Lamb, he's on 595 yards. So the Vikings are going in the right direction. Cowboys are coming off a bye, and they've got Dalton back. So I think it's going to be a close one, but I've got Vikings by three.
Yeah, man. Dalvin Cook, the past 3 weeks, has been absolutely nuts. DeMarcus Lawrence, granted, I don't like the Cowboys and I don't like DeMarcus Lawrence, but he has been doing well this year. He's got a really high motor for the run game. So do watch for that big matchup between Tank and Dalvin Cook, but Vikings by 10.
Yeah, similar thoughts to you, Adam. Just Vikings, I can only see winning this one. I've got them winning by 9.
On with the Vikings as well. Vikings by 7.
Okay, Craig, next game, you've got Steelers at Jags.
Yeah, so the 9-0 undefeated Steelers are taking on the 1-8 Jags. I think that pretty much sums up everything else I need to say about this game. But anyway, let's give it a go. So the Steelers are looking on staying undefeated and hitting a franchise record of 10-0. This game has the same kind of feel to it as last week's game for the Steelers. You know, last week they faced quite an exciting team coming in the form of the Bengals, who have been pushing teams close and threatening an upset. But the Steelers, you know, ultimately came on, give them a bit of a thumping, despite their offense looking a little bit out of sync at times. The key for the Steelers is that the defense can dominate even the best offense, let alone the ones that have issues. They rank in the top 5 in points allowed, takeaways, first downs allowed, average points per drive, and average plays per drive. Having a defense that good, it allows your offense to have a pretty crappy day and still manage to rack up 30-plus points. It's all right for some, innit? Problem for the Jags is that they're just not all that great at anything in particular. They do rank in the top 10 in yards per rushing attempt, offensive third down conversion rate, and defensive red zone conversion rate. Those numbers, I guess, have the opportunity to produce some strong moments at times in this game, but the lack of consistency on offense across the board is a bit of a concern for them, really. The biggest concern I have for the Steelers in this game is complacency. We just saw them struggle to get motivated in that non-division game on the road against the Cowboys. With the Ravens coming up next week, we could see the Steelers maybe just let this game drift a little bit and then wake up late in the second half and pull out a small win rather than coming right out of the gate and just giving them a bit of a slapping. You know, absolutely, but after it happened 2 weeks ago, I'd expect Tomlin this time round to sort of put his foot down on them and sort of really hammer home the point to them all week that every game is important. Don't look too far ahead and take it one game at a time. I can't see the Steelers having the motivation, like I've just said, to pile it on the Jags like they would have the Bengals. So don't be surprised if the Steelers don't get a big lead in this game until like later in the game, or maybe vice versa. Maybe they could sort of get a bit of a lead and then take the foot off the gas in the third, but either way it could make a bit of an uncomfortable watch for Steelers fans. Anyway, I got Steelers by 14.
Yeah, I've noticed that the Steelers run game is really struggling to get started in most of these games. So yeah, their offense does look a bit... That Cowboys game was just horrible for me to watch. No, and they just stomped us and then Cowboys walked over them. But yeah, I think Mason whatever his name is might be starting in the fourth quarter, so Steelers by 12.
Yeah, I've got Steelers by 14. Jags aren't doing anything.
Yeah, it's a real mismatch this. I've got the Steelers to win this one by 10.
There could potentially be an upset. There's room there. After what I've seen last week, the Jags do look feisty. I'm not just flat out saying that it's not going to happen, but they are going into this underdogs. I'm going to be honest there. Like, but they do look feisty, and there could be an upset there.
That you mentioned, they're doing well in the running game. That James Robinson, undrafted free agent, he's obviously
been doing quality for them.
Yeah, not letting him out of nowhere start this guy and he's been absolutely pulling out for him. We'll move on to my next game. One of the more exciting matchups this week, as we have the Green Bay Packers heading to the Indianapolis Colts. The Packers come off a long week playing Thursday night last week after dismantling the San Francisco IRs, which is a fun name I saw because half their team's on IR. Rodgers just looks like Rodgers right now, in really good form. Davante Adams is just tearing teams up as everyone expected. Defense is trucking along. Running backs are starting to return to health. So there's not much to be said about the Packers coming into this game. They're a dominant NFC North team that are coming in wanting to take that number one overall seed. Colts, on the other hand, look really good defensively. As I said before, they kind of stomped on the Titans. Phil Rivers looks as up and down as ever. In his good games, he looks great. In his bad games, he's the reason they lost. In essence, it's going to be a top offense versus a top defense, which is a game we love to see. Packers offense, obviously, against that Colts defense. Both led by a veteran quarterback with a lot of experience, with a relatively new head coach. If this game was in the open air, I would just give it to the Colts, because that, when it's windy and rainy and you've got to rely on the run game, I'll take the Colts O-line over the Packers O-line. However, I did have to Google if Lucas Oil Stadium had a roof, and it does. So it's more than likely going to be played indoors if it's raining, which means Rodgers has Davante Adams to play with. Purely off of that and the connection that Rodgers and Adams have going right now, and whilst the run game for the... I mean, we all saw Jonathan Taylor. He's really been struggling. Naheem Hines busted off some big runs against the Titans, but I don't see their run game improving massively over week to week. I've got the Packers by 9.
I've got the Packers by 3. Surprisingly, the Colts are actually the bookies' favourite. But as you mentioned, Adam, I think the Colts are a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. Rivers has just done. I've noticed that for 2 or 3 years. So, yeah.
I see this being a really nitty gritty game, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be tight, really, really close up either way for me, but I'm going to take the Packers just because they got the extra bit of class. Packers by 3.
Yeah, I was a bit back and forth myself. The Packers defense has been struggling, and obviously the Colts offense is, their O line's pretty good. Colts defense, I think, is ranked number one in the league at the minute, or pretty close. But at the same time, you've got Aaron Rodgers and Jones and Adams there on that offense. I'm going to go Packers by 3.
Okay. Yeah, we're all struggling with that one a bit. Joe, you've got one that I still haven't decided my score for. Falcons at Saints.
Yeah, so Falcons at Saints. As we mentioned earlier on in the show, it's probably going to be Jameis Winston time in the Saints uniform. Obviously, after Drew Brees suffered what turned out to be a punctured or collapsed lung, we're still not sure, haven't confirmed it. But it's going to be really interesting to see Winston back in action with his new team, and most importantly, his new eyes. I'm interested to see how and if the Saints change their game plan. Obviously, with Drew Brees, there's a lot more short passing due to his arm. Jameis is so used to just absolutely launching the ball down the field and sort of praying if it goes into either his receiver's hands or the other team's hands. You know, who knows what happens? It's a bit of a lottery with him. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what sort of, you know, what Sean Payton's done with him, how they've adapted his game. And for me, I think he has the fundamentals to be a good quarterback. He just takes too much risk. So yeah, it'll be good to see how that goes. The Saints are coming in off a really good win versus the 49ers, and they seem to be in really good form. Alvin Kamara, he's playing like a man possessed at the moment, and he's definitely in the MVP conversation. He scored 3 touchdowns last week, and he just keeps those high numbers. He is pretty much, he is the Saints at the moment on the offense side of the ball. And he's flying. An absolute joy to watch. A big matchup for me in this one is Lattimore versus Julio Jones. Looking at the stats, whenever Lattimore plays well, the Saints pretty much win every time. This is going to be a really tough test for him, though, because the problem is you take Julio Jones out of the game, you've got Calvin Ridley. It's not too easy with the Falcons and their offense. And the Falcons are really on form as well. They've won 3 of their last 4 games. Life without Dan Quinn has been rather easy for them. And they're going to be feeling rather fresh as well coming off their bye week. So with the Falcons offense and the Saints defense being very sort of up and down, more up as of recent, I think it's going to be a really, really close game. Divisional games always are. They just seem to be that extra bit closer. The teams know each other really, really well. See, Winston being in for Drew Brees makes it even closer. But however, taking all that in, I have still got the Saints taking this one. I've got them taking just about, got them winning by 7.
Same as Joe. I was back and forth on this one. And yeah, Atlanta winning 3 or 4 since they got rid of Quinn. It's a tough one, but I just think the Saints are still a better team. Although it's going to be tight, I've got the Saints by 5.
Yeah, I'm still mulling it over in my head, but is Calvin Ridley playing?
I believe so.
Because like you said, Marshawn Lattimore does have very cold games. I've kind of kept up to date with the fans, and they're not too.
He's listed as questionable.
And the thing is that if they're playing the Saints at full occupancy, are the Saints? Then they can't be playing at full occupancy. I know they are in Louisiana, though. Yeah, if that was full occupancy, the Saints take that. But I like Matt Ryan's chances at winning this game against Jameis Winston, who more than likely is going to throw 2 interceptions, I'd say, even with a full week of prep behind him. The Falcons' offense is formidable enough that I don't think the Saints can win without Breeze. So I'm going to take the Falcons by 3 as I'm watching Craig.
Yeah, you know what? Up until this point, I'd pick the Saints. But you know what? Like, I've been on the Falcons train all year. I've been on that roller coaster, and I'm not getting off now. I'm staying on for another go. Staying on for another week. So yeah, I'm going to split that one, which is 50-50. It's either going to pay off for me and I'm going to catch us up a little bit, or it's going to go horribly, and Joe's going to pull away that little bit more. But yeah, I'm going to back the Falcons again. Let's do it. Let's do this. Let's go, Dirty Birds. Let's do it. Come on.
Great stuff. Tim, your next game, you've got Dolphins at Broncos.
I have indeed. So the new media darlings, the Dolphins take on the Broncos. So last week, the Dolphins beat the Chargers 21-29. As the Miami Herald said, Tua's got Xavier Howard and a game-changing defense. Justin Howard doesn't. That really was a difference between those two teams. Xavier Howard snuffed out the Chargers' momentum in early fourth quarter, intercepting Herbert. A Dolphins, again, they seem to do this every single week. They had a block punt, so they've got good special teams. The amazingly named Andrew Van Ginkel blocked that punt there. The Broncos played the Raiders last week. I'll go into that in more detail when I talk about the Raiders, but let's just say Drew Lock bad, Raiders dominated. So the Dolphins are going to get an easy win here. They're a team on the rise. Broncos are failing to find an identity anywhere. They haven't got a quarterback. Drew Lock is actually questionable with a rib injury. And I think it's time for Elway to go. So I've got the Dolphins by 10.
Yeah, Drew Lock ain't doing stuff against that Dolphins defense. Dolphins by 12.
That's right. Hear me out. I think the Dolphins could make a sneaky run in the playoffs this year. You know, like, they look like that defense is good. Like, it's legit. And like you said, that special teams wins games. It's a part of the game that often gets overlooked, but it's so important in terms of winning the key battles, good field position, you know, just getting them sort of freak chunk plays. And then 2 is also looking promising, and they've got a lot of weapons. I've got Dolphins taking this by 9, but I think they're a team that could make an underdog run in the playoffs.
Yeah, Craig, I'm with you, mate. I've actually got the Dolphins winning the AFC East this year. I think they're the best team at the moment for me, and I really think they're flying. That defense is absolutely terrifying. This game, I have got it just a little bit closer. I think I don't know why. I've got the Dolphins to win by 4, but I just do. It's just one of those games. I think the Dolphins are really on the high at the moment, but I think this could be the week where potentially they maybe have a little scare, and they probably need that. If it happens to them, it probably help them in the long run. Yeah, Dolphins to win by 4.
Okay, it's shaping up to be a fun one. Craig, you have got the Lions heading to the Panther Den.
Yeah, so the Carolina Panthers didn't put up much of a fight against the Tampa Bay Bucs last week. Now they'll host the Lions, who are fresh off a buzzer-beaten win against the Washington football team last week. That was quite an exciting game. It come down to literally like a last-second hoof. And it was quite a kick. While the Panthers' offense hasn't been bad, they'll need to get better for the team if they are going to win. The defense has just been that bad for them at the moment. So Panthers' offense, like, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was banged up against the Bucs. He hasn't exactly been lighting up the field before that earlier on in the game. But don't let his, you know, don't let his fantastic completion percentage and his 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio fuel. Yeah, he's averaged just 3 yards in the air per completion. That's not exactly pushing the ball downfield. I get that the offensive line's been pretty bad, but Teddy still needs to at least give the defense something to think about. Getting one or two bombs to Anderson, Moore or Samuel will definitely open up that intermediate game where Teddy can really sort of show what he can do and thrive like we know he can. The reason so much that this is riding on Bridgewater is because Caffert may see, you know, C-Max out once again with his injury. At this point, winning games, it's not just as important as at least being competitive, but it would still still do a lot for this young team's confidence levels if they could get at least one W in the column. With Mike Davis at running back this week, the hopes that Joe Brady and company can get back to what worked early in Davis's sort of time and use him in the passing game. When the Panthers were winning games without Christian McCaffrey, Davis would often leave the team in receptions. Using Davis as an outlet would also allow them the potent weapons that they've got on the outside to threaten the defense in a vertical way. Panthers wideouts have been fantastic for them this season, especially after the catch, which is why their offense has been productive despite not pushing the ball downfield consistently. So shout out to Robbie Anderson, who's actually top five in the NFL in receiving yards, which is quite surprising if you'd have told me that coming into the season that one of the Panthers wide receivers was going to be in the top five. I wouldn't have believed you. DJ Moore has also been quite an explosive receiver, but he was the most explosive receiver on the night against the Bucs, but that came to at the expense of Curtis Samuel. Joe Brady needs to figure out how to get all three guys going at the same time if you really want to get this offense clicking. That would result in a nearly unstoppable offense, in my opinion, with or without Christian McCaffrey, because the three of them together, I know I've got two of them on one of my fantasy teams and they have been putting up serious numbers. The Lions, like I said, they just had a walk-off field goal win against Washington where they allowed 27 points to Alex Smith. Now, you know, I'm rooting for Alex Smith just like everybody else, but to get put up, you know, to let someone like Alex Smith put 27 points on you, it shows that there's some issues there. The front four it's not exactly full of recognisable names. They don't seem to get much pressure either. The entire Lions team they've only notched up 13 sacks so far this season, 6 of them coming from Romeo Okawa, who really is balling out for them. But other than him, there's not been an awful lot going on. The linebackers, they're led by Jamie Collins. He's been playing well through 9 games this season, leading the team in tackles while notching a pick, a sack and 2 forced fumbles as well. The other linebackers have been overshadowed by a little bit by the secondary. Third overall pick, Jeff Okuda, he's had his ups and downs this season, but he's undoubtedly a talented player. Safety Tracy Walker likes to fly around and make tackles to keep an eye out on number 21 on the weekend. He and the other safety, Daron Harmon, they're quite good at breaking up passes, and they've each been notching up a handful of passes defended. So definitely that secondary is more of a strength for them at the moment. Teddy's a little bit banged up, like I said, but the Lions have just let Alex Smith, he's on one functioning leg, put up 27 points against them last week. They did a great job of shutting down Washington's run game, so the majority of the yard gained and the points gained on the weekend were from Smith. If Teddy gets a little more time in the pocket and added a little bit more of an inclination to push the ball, downfield, then there's no reason that the Panthers couldn't put up a number in the 30s on the weekend, which still might not be enough considering how bad that defense is. I've got Lions by 3.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. If Teddy doesn't start, the Lions have this game just because the Lions offense is popping off. But I think that the Lions are keeping games close enough that if they have the opportunity to come from behind, they can win games, which is a really bad method of trying to win, but it works when you've got a great offense. So I'm going to have the Lions squeaking by 1.
They are struggling a little bit at the moment. I know they've got quite a few injuries on offense, like Golladay's bit of, had an hip injury. Amendola's got a hip injury as well, I think. But that DeAndre Swift seems to be slowly getting better each week for them.
The Lions have found a few ways to lose games. So I've, for that reason only, I've gone Panthers by two.
Yeah, my one's down to Teddy playing. I think the Panthers are just much more well-drilled and they've, you know, they're scared of a few big teams. And if they play to their potential, I think they've got this in the bag. So if Teddy plays, but I've got to stick with it as my prediction, I'm going Panthers to win by seven.
Just seen some bad news that Clay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors confirmed Achilles tear.
Ooh.
So he's out for a second season. Anyway, back to NFL. So I have the AFC North Bengals going to the Washington football team. Honestly, a game I'm kind of looking forward to. The Bengals come off a bit of a drubbing by the Steelers. They managed to win on the ground, 139 yards against the Steelers, which is saying something, compared to 44 yards by the Steelers, which I mentioned before. Their run game's not doing too well. But the more telling stats, 0-13 on third downs for the Bengals. Two fumbles, just that's if you have two fumbles and you win a game, you've come out lucky there. The Bengals just have to protect Joe Burrow more. He's getting hit so much in his first year. So if they're going to stay in a division with Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, and the Ravens, they're just going to need to protect him far more. It's going to be another Andrew Luck story. The football team come off, like Tim said, a very close loss to the Lions, just by a field goal. Alex Smith threw over 300 yards, we mentioned, is a miracle in itself. The team has bright spots. It's got Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson's doing really well for the on the running backs. Obviously, they've got Chase Young, the front seven's doing really well. Ronald Darby is doing better than they thought. So they are a team with bright spots. But yeah, like I said, I think it's going to be a really fun game. Washington's front seven, Chase Young, they're due to inflict even more pain on Burrow. Every time I watch Burrow, he's in a game against talented pass rushers. But even then, he continues to thrive. He's been really, really good under pressure. I think he's actually the best quarterback under pressure, though I could be wrong. But I just don't see the defense stopping him. Or the Washington offense being able to keep up with his production. T. Higgins for the Bengals is looking really, really good. He went for over 100 yards last week. If that can become a decent pairing with Burrow and you've got A.J. Green attracting a lot of attention, as he should do, opposite, it's a good look for that Bengals offense. And Scary Terry is the best receiver that's going to be on the field. He's outrageously good. But when you can't utilize him as well as you want him, he's not going to have the effect. So kind of look towards the Bengals defense, stifling the run game against Washington and forcing Alex Smith to win with his arm, which is how the Bengals are going to win this. And I have got them taking it by four.
I have got the Washington football team winning this one by three. I like what I saw from Alex Smith. I think that Joe Burrow is going to get chased down to within an inch of his life. So for that reason, that's why I've gone for the Washington football team.
These two teams, I look at them sort of as a whole, and I do prefer the Bengals just... I think both these teams obviously building and trying to become something, trying to be a lot better than they are right now. But I don't know. I just fancy Burrow to potentially get that ball out quicker and have a good game. So I have got the Bengals to win this by six.
Yeah, I've gone Bengals as well. I've gone Bengals by seven. It's a tough one. I can see Burrow getting a bit of a whooping in this one. I can see him taking quite a few hits, but I think I've just got more faith in that Bengals offense and Burrow than I do in terms of Washington. Washington just seem to be struggling to just putting points up each week.
Okay, on to our next game. Tim, you've got the Chiefs at Raiders.
I have indeed. So the Chiefs were on a bye week last week. The Raiders whooped the Broncos 37-12. As the Mile High Report said, the Denver Broncos lost in shameful fashion to the Raiders. The game was actually close at halftime. Broncos could have gone into the lead, but Drew Lock threw an interception to Jeffy, one of four interceptions on the day for us. Raiders had a plan, bully the Broncos on the ground, and it worked. Josh Jacobs, 112 yards, two touchdowns. Devontae Booker, 81 yards and two touchdowns. And that's with second string tackle and the third string tackle starting. Raiders could have had three more touchdowns at least. Aguilar dropped one in the end zone. Adam, you remember that? Yep. Waller dropped a bomb that would have been a walking touchdown. And Hunter Renfrow, he had a punt return for a touchdown callback because a 15-yard penalty on Jonathan Abraham. Saying all that, we're playing the Chiefs this week. Obviously, we've gone into it before. We've lost or could lose a lot of players to COVID this week. I still think the Chiefs would have won anyway. They were embarrassed when we beat them in at home, and they've been going on and on about it. So I think the Chiefs are really, really motivated for this one. So with the players out, I've got Chiefs by 14.
I'm with you there. I've also gone Chiefs by 14. Like you said, I think with the COVID issues and stuff they've got going on there at the moment, and I think that it's going to be fresh in the Chiefs' mind that loss to them earlier in the season.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that you guys beat them last time. But yeah, you've got COVID issues, and the Chiefs are just nice and consistent right now. Chiefs by 17.
this game, I did see something like you've. Tim, you've played the Chiefs, I think, 3 years in a row after their bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And they've won fairly heavily, I think, in all of them. Which doesn't help my pick of the Raiders to win by six. I don't know. I just got a lot of belief in you guys. I know you've got the COVID issues, but I just really like what Gruden's doing. And I think you know how to beat them. You've done it before. I know they're going to come back and be different. And they're going to really want it this time. But I don't know, you're at home, admittedly a new home, but you're at home, and I just don't know. I just got a lot of belief. I'm back in the Raiders, yeah, by six.
I think if we win this one, I'm genuinely going to think we can win the Super Bowl. Beating the Chiefs, I can't remember the last time we beat the Chiefs twice in the season. So that's, in my preseason predictions, I thought we split the series with the Chiefs. But
positivity. Okay, speaking of positivity, Craig.
Well, I don't know. We'll see about positivity by the time I finish this. So there's not much that you can trust Carson Wentz and the Eagles to do at the moment, but beating the Giants has been a sure thing since 2017. However, that seemed to fail them on Sunday as the Eagles lost 27-17. I'm sorry, Adam. They finished 0-9 on third downs. That was the big stat to me that stood out. That's not great. The running game looks solid again, though. Miles Sanders got 85 yards after making his return on a weekend, so that's a positive for him. However, between those third downs and the offensive line not really holding up, the Eagles just couldn't finish enough drives, even with wide receiver Travis Fulgham. He's their like standout receiver this year. I know Adam's mentioned him a few times. He's had his worst game of the season so far. He only had one catch on five targets. If there was a bright spot for the Eagles, it was the first game of the season where the Eagles had no giveaways. Wentz still leads the league in interceptions with 12 and sacks allowed on 35. So he's been getting beat up quite a bit. There's definitely issues with that offensive line there. But, I mean, this is a matchup where Myles Garrett, I guess, is licking his chops, and he's looking at that NFL high 9.5 sacks, and he's going to be looking to add up his totals on the year, I guess. You know, both teams, they'd like to lean on a run in this matchup. I think Cleveland's run defense is mediocre. It's only 18th, but most teams outside of Tim's Raiders have not really been able to dominate the Browns on the ground. When Wentz started to pick up his level of play this season, he was scrambling around and using his legs more, and he did look good. He was averaging 40.5 yards rushing per game in weeks 3-6, but the last three games, he's had a total of 35 rushing yards, and he's regressed again. I think that's partly down just because those design run plays that were going well for you and were doing so well for you have been pulled out, and the play calling has been pretty crappy. So I don't think it's all on Wentz. The Eagles are still likely without Zach Ertz as well for this one. Dallas Goedert's been back for a few games, but he's had more yards in week one than he had for the rest of 2020 combined. So there's something, he's clearly not right and not like sort of clicking on all cylinders like he should be. They're still trying to get first round rookie, like I said, Jalen Reagor involved a bit more in the offense as well. He has been a bright spot for years and he has been doing well for you. So hopefully they can get him a little bit more involved in the offense and get them improving all round a little bit more. I think on the Cleveland side of the ball, Baker Mayfield, he had his best moment of the season with 297 yards and 5 touchdowns against the Bengals a few weeks ago. But in the last two games, he's only scored 16 points. They've only scored 16 points. Mayfield's had no touchdowns and he's only thrown for 254 yards. So Cleveland are clearly struggling a little bit on offense there. You have to give them a little bit of a pass there, though, because the wind has been a huge factor in Cleveland these last couple home games there. It was that bad that caused a delay on Sunday in their 10-7 win over Houston. But the weather reports this week, they look like it should be a little bit better for them. It's still early on to say, but hopefully they do have a normal day so we can see what both these offences can really do. They do have Nick Chubb back, so that two-headed monster that they've got of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I guess we can really see what they can do because they've not really been on the field much together this season so far. I don't know. How do you see this game going? I think there's a lot of potential to be a close game there. The Eagles are one or two teams, other than the Chargers this season, that have played 9 close games within one possession in the fourth quarter. Cleveland have been blown out twice, but there's still 3-1 record in close games, which are back. And like I said, the Browns have got that two-headed monster at running back. I see Mayfield. I reckon Mayfield's going to outplay Wentz in this one, and I think the Browns should be able to move to 7-3. I've got Cleveland taking this one by 7.
Okay. Let me begin my rant.
Oh, sorry, by 9.
Okay, let me begin my rant. Right, so there is a lot of problems. Play calling is definitely the biggest problem because, as you said, Miles Sanders is running really well, but we don't give him the ball. So why have we got a great running back? Carson Wentz plays best when he is passing outside the pocket on like scrambles and stuff. Against the Giants, he was outside the pocket twice. Like you said, the third downs are terrible. Carson Wentz needs to play better, but what everyone's saying, you've got to stop turning the ball over, So he stops playing his level of hero ball and just plays safe, and the team does absolutely garbage. Into the guards, we I think we're getting Isaac Seumalo back for left guard. Obviously, we lost Brandon Brooks for the entire season in the preseason, but our guards have really been struggling. So hopefully we get some level of consistency back with Seumalo. But honestly, I'm not too worried about Myles Garrett because he is going against Lane Johnson, who's one of the best. It's mainly play calling. Wentz does need to play better, but I just can't go against the Eagles. I literally had the Browns written down, but I got the Eagles to win by 7.
Oh, I can see Wentz getting beaten up, sadly. You're talking, Craig, about Myles Garrett, and I can just see him getting through and just hitting him and scaring him. And sadly enough, it's a sad thing to see. I can see the Browns winning this and winning it tightly, though, by 3.
Yeah, I've got the same score. I've got the Browns by 3, but I think the Browns are going to dominate on the ground, hold on to the ball, and you're not going to get hold of the ball at all. It's just going to be one of those games, especially if the weather's bad.
Yeah, but Wentz likes playing from behind anyway.
I do think your biggest issue has been play calling, and I think they've moved away from what that offense does best, especially Wentz.
Because Doug Peterson, he was when he won the Super Bowl, it was great, but everyone's basically figured out that Frank Reich was the genius behind the offense in 2017, and Doug Peterson's now arrogant enough that he's like, I looked at my play calling and I figured out nothing was wrong with my play calling. So you're like, oh my god, just let someone else just try. And he's not playing Wentz how Wentz plays best. He's got good weapons now. The offensive line is a big problem, and it's really annoying that our offensive line isn't helping at all. But and Jason Kelce had his worst day on record. He just had a weird day with snaps. There was like 4 or 5 that were astray, and it's really annoying that we put Jalen Hurts in and only ever played a quarterback option run. We never let Jalen Hurts throw the ball, which is like if the defense is seeing Jalen Hurts and going, right, they're running it. It just makes the team so predictable.
I feel you when it comes to bad snaps. It's a big issue. Ravens have been having a favorite at the moment. I didn't mention earlier, but you know, it's been that bad that they've moved Matt Scorden out to guard and they've put Bozeman in at center. So we're going to be Ravens are going to be rolling with a new snapper on the weekend. They've reshifted that whole entire line.
Actually, speaking of the Browns, I think I saw that their center, their long snapper, and their punter are on the COVID list.
Three big skill position guys.
Yeah, apparently they all should be back in time for the game though, assuming there's no positives. Let's move on to my game before we move on to the final Monday Night Football one, which looks great. I have the Jets at the Chargers. Obviously, it's the game that not everyone's going to be watching. If the Jets are going to win a game, this is probably their last chance, I think. They come off a bye week, so they've got time. They're against a team that's, like Craig said before, got some of the closest games, most of the closest games, actually. But that being said, Herbert had a really quiet game against the Dolphins. We've got a very good defense right now. He only passed for 174 yards. Team just couldn't get it going. Xavier Howard got his fifth season in, which he's having a career season there. But if you look into it, you can only see the Chargers winning. They've just got a really high, despite what I've just said, they've got a really high-powered offense. Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert have a really nice connection on these big, long passes. Anthony Lynn does like to choke and likes to throw his games, though. And the Chargers defense is adequate. It's improving. It's just not doing enough that I don't think the Jets are totally out with a chance. That being said, Herbert is going to stop having close games eventually, and he's going to prove why he's worth all this hype that he's getting. And I just think that the Chargers could lose it because they are a team that can lose these silly little games. But the Chargers have a point to prove, and they're going to take this one by 14.
I'm at the point of the season where I think the Jets have got to win a game. So I nearly put the Jets in for this one because the Chargers, as you said, I've got a habit of blowing games, but I can't see it. I've got the Chargers by 7.
At the end of the day, Jets are the Jets, and that won't change for this season. So I've got the Chargers to win by 12.
Oh, I'm very tempted, you know. No, I'm going to stick. I've got Chargers by 10. I think that Chargers defense is just going to be too good for that Jets team in the end.
You know, it's bad when everyone's like, oh, I think you could win, but you're just not.
I don't think anyone has gone for the Jets once this year.
Wow.
So if we do go for the Jets, does that count also as a bold prediction?
Ooh.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Let's have that going. Right. Monday Night Football, Rams at Bucks. Joe, tell us about it.
Yeah, so This game is so much better than last week's Monday Night Football. Rams Bucks shits all over Bears Vikings. That's all you gotta know. So yeah, so I'm really looking forward to this game, like many people are. This game has massive implications in the NFC. Both the teams, they're both going for their division title, and they're both at the moment in the wild card race. So it's just got. It just means a lot for the playoffs, effectively. They're both coming off wins. The Rams, before going into their game last week against the Seahawks, they had played, on average, the worst offenses in the league. So the Seahawks last time around was their sort of first big sort of test. And they were brilliant. Jalen Ramsey was excellent. He kept DK Metcalf very quiet. And in a divisional game, you know, if you're taking out your rival's main weapon, that's brilliant. I'm not sure if Russell Wilson just wanted to avoid Ramsey, or Ramsey was just covering him so bloody well that he just couldn't get DK free. But yeah, DK only made 2 catches. And considering how well he's played all season, that's just, yeah, shut him out excellently. As we mentioned earlier, Whitworth being out for the Rams is a big issue. The Bucks, they love to bring pressure. And under pressure, Goff doesn't perform too well. In fact, having a look at the stats, he throws 2 yards less per attempt when being blitzed. So with that as main man in front of him, that could be a bit of an issue. The Bucks last week, they took out their frustration after losing to the Saints on the poor old Panthers. They put up 46 points against them. Really, really good play as well by Roland Jones. He scored a 98-yard touchdown, which is, I believe, the longest yard touchdown of the season so far. I mean, it's a lot harder to go above 98 unless you get some crazy punt return or kickoff return. Positively as well for them, Antonio Brown sort of made his first big impact. He had 69 receiving yards. And it's just, yeah, good to see him and Tom Brady being buddies again. For me, it's a really, really tight game. The Rams, I feel we still don't know exactly who they are. And as we mentioned earlier, they're a well-coached team with a really good defense, and the offense just does enough to get by. The offense has got loads of great weapons on it as well, so, you know, such as Cooper Kupp, Rob Woods, etc. The Bucks are sort of a more well-rounded team. The defense is solid. I mean, the last couple of weeks it's sort of gone off the ball a bit, but their offense has shown last week that, you know, they are just complete class. This game, whoever wins this goes right up in my expectations of what they can do into January and beyond. However, in this one, I am just going to go for the Bucks. I just think Tom Brady, he knows how to come across good defenses, and I think he's going to have a really, really good game again. So I've got the Bucks to win this one by 6.
The Rams, not the Rams, sorry. It's also a 2018-19 Super Bowl matchup, kind of, Brady versus the Rams. Yeah, but the Brady's sucked against good teams this year, so I've seen. The Rams are currently a really good team. Aaron Donald's going to be in his face. I've got the Rams only winning by 4, but I can see them absolutely run away with this game if they get a grip early.
Again, it's one I'm told on. I've got the Bucks by 5, but it could be the Rams by 5. I'm sticking with the Bucks. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat. I'm in two minds. I've got Bucks by 7 at the moment. I don't know. I think the win...
An Antonio Brown causing shit?
I think the winner of this game, it really does... Well, I think this game, just regardless of whoever wins, it's going to have big implications in terms of just seedings and stuff and where stuff's going to go. No, I'm going to stick with the Bucks by 7. Unless do you think Brady's deliberately just tanking games to try and aim for that 4th seed so he has to face the Eagles?
He doesn't like playing the Eagles.
I mean, I'm sure he'll like playing against them this year, mate.
You mean the Giants?
Hey, the Giants are good. Watch out for them.
Nah, they lost like 6 or 7 games are difficult, fortunately for you.
Okay, so I'm lone wolfing with the Rams again. I'm not regretting that. Let's go straight into our bold predictions then. I'll start. I've got that the Dolphins keep up the dominance and they get at least 3 defensive turnovers this week.
I've gone with now Chubb and Hunt are back. I've got them to combine for over 200 yards.
A Jameis Winston one. I've got him to throw over 300 yards and not to throw an interception. Very bold.
No interceptions. That is bold.
And I've got one-legged Alex Smith to throw for 3 touchdowns and run for 1 touchdown.
Run.
Okay, Jesus. So if you want to let us know how we've done on those predictions, where we're wrong, where we're right, what you think, you can get in touch with us on our social media, which we are all active on. Joe, how can they find us?
Yep, so our Twitter and Instagram is at TAFS_UK, and our Facebook is That American Football Show. Just type it in. And we also have a Facebook group just called NFL Fans. I believe you can find it through our Facebook page. So join that if you want to see some cool news, videos and memes, everything.
We've actually got people, I mean, if you are a person that likes to write or talk about the NFL and want to kind of get anyone to listen to it, please do give a visit to our website. We've got people writing on it and we host anything for free. It's totally up to you. Tim, how can they get to that?
Just go to thatamericanfootballshow.com.
And we've also got our partners with Lockdown Lids. We've got a great new pick of the week we've just heard about. Craig, do you want to tell them about that?
Yeah, so they've got an Odell Beckham Jr. Cleveland Browns jersey. This week they're doing things a little bit differently. So all of the proceeds from this week's sort of drop, it'll go directly to a Buffett or Bucks team. Buffett or Bucks team got there in the end, in the form of EP Sports gift vouchers to spend at their leisure. It starts running tonight from 9 o'clock. And the competition will run up until when they pick the winner on their live stream. It's just £2 to enter. And anyone who's involved with a Baffa team or a Bucks team, just get involved, get your mates involved, get your teammates involved, get your family involved. It's a big chance to sort of help and support your club and your local club.
And of course, you can also find lots of merch and NFL goodies on EP Sports. Remember, they are in some big Black Friday sales, so head out to them. So thank you all so much for listening. Do keep an ear out for our socials because we have got some more content coming. We've got a big Thanksgiving quiz with the guys from Lockdown Lids, where we're going to be having a few drinkies, and that should be a good fun. And we have also got a giveaway coming from EP Sports. It's going to be one of the new NFL Flyknit hats. They're actually really nice, these ones. They've got some of the old school logos on. I know the Bucks one's really good. So we'll get some pictures of them posted out. So do keep an eye out for that giveaway. It is going to be on the Twitter. But thank you all for listening, and enjoy your next week of football.
Just win, baby.